I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. It's one of the most neurologically complex activities we do each and every day, seemingly without even thinking about it. That is, until there's a problem. We're talking about dysphagia, more commonly known as difficulty swallowing, on this week's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. Dr. Deborah Suter is an associate professor in the Department of Communication Sciences for UK Healthcare and director of the UK Voice and Swallow Clinic.
We are comprised of six speech-language pathologists. We have a medical director who is an ENT. It was actually developed initially as a voice clinic. My colleague, Dr. Joe Stemple, is a specialist in voice disorders, and so he came here with the idea he wanted to start a clinic in voice, but because voice and swallowing share a common pathway with the mouth and throat, it made sense that we would also do dysphagia work. And then I came about 5 years ago. My area is dysphagia. So since I've been here, we've really started to focus more on that. And kind of what our clinic does is we're an outpatient clinic. We work very closely with our ear, nose, and throat doctors, but we staff the Markey Cancer Clinic. We work a lot with professional voice users, so on the voice side of things, but as far as the dysphagia side of things, we see a lot of patients with head and neck cancer. I work in the ALS clinic one day a week, so I work very closely with those patients, and then we've worked to expand our services to patients with neurogenic swallowing disorders, so related to Parkinson's disease, stroke, etc.
So if we define dysphagia broadly as difficulty swallowing, mm-hmm. and I think sometimes even we people in medicine forget just how complicated a neurologic process and neuromuscular process mm-hmm. swallowing can be, but you touched on a second ago, there are a wide variety of conditions that can adversely affect swallowing.
Right. So, yes, dysphagia can occur anywhere from birth to old age. Children can be born with congenital defects, clefts or strictures or what have you, that can make feeding and swallowing very difficult, all the way up through adulthood where people will have, again, neurologic disease that can result in difficulty swallowing. We see a lot of people with head and neck cancer because those structures are so involved in swallowing function that swallowing can be quite disturbed in those populations. We're seeing a lot of people that are coming in simply with complaints of pill sticking, meat sticking, that sort of thing. Because reflux is so prevalent these days, and so those patients will sometimes get referred to us, oftentimes and more appropriately so, to gastroenterology, but we do see our fair share of those individuals too. So our clinic specializes primarily in working with adults. Those of us that see the patients for dysphagia will see patients as young as in their teen years, but on up. We really don't focus on pediatrics because that's such a specialty area.
Mm-hmm. And so what sort of treatments are available? Are we talking both medical treatment mm-hmm. and practicing different techniques up to and including surgical techniques for helping?
Yes. So from a speech pathology standpoint, there are ways that we can teach people to compensate for their swallowing disorders. So it may be something as simple as tucking your chin or turning your head a different way. So we might be able to identify those sorts of compensatory strategies, is what we refer to them as, during a swallow examination, which would typically entail either an x-ray test of swallowing called a modified barium swallow study or an endoscopic evaluation of swallowing. So compensatory strategies are one aspect. We can work on strengthening the muscles or improving the skill involved in swallowing, so those are called more rehabilitative strategies. So speech can do those sort of treatments. There's sometimes, though, when swallowing is a result of a structural abnormality or simply the muscles aren't working, and nothing that we can do is going to benefit the patient, and so oftentimes those issues will need to be treated medically. for some of our patients, if there's absolutely no way that we can determine that it's safe for them to eat and drink, then we have to look at alternative means of nutrition, which would be something like a feeding tube, and that would be handled more by a physician.
So you're really talking about an entire team of different professionals who would come to focus on that one patient. You might need speech pathologists, physicians, dietitians, a whole array of professionals working as a team.
Absolutely. We don't work in a bubble, so it's always a very collaborative approach with the individuals that you mentioned. Nursing is quite involved. I work very closely with respiratory therapists. I don't recall if you mentioned dietitians, but we work very closely with dietitians as well to develop a treatment plan for our patients.
And respiratory therapists would be necessary because if an individual has difficulty in swallowing, because the wind tube, the trachea, and the esophagus, the food tube, are so close together, that could cause problem with aspiration or taking things down the windpipe.
Right, it can. The other aspect is that breathing and swallowing are very closely intertwined. We cease breathing momentarily when we swallow. So for patients who have difficulty with pulmonary issues, so breathing issues, if they have something called chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or some other issue that's affecting their breathing, it can make coordinating breathing and swallowing difficult, and it may place the individual more at risk for aspiration. So we want to know that from respiratory therapy. We want to know what their respiratory status is, because that can affect what treatment might be appropriate for a patient.
Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you would want our listeners to know about the dysphagia clinic?
The main thing is, if you are having difficulty swallowing, absolutely mention it to your doctor. Certainly if you've noticed that meals are taking longer, or if you're losing weight because it's difficult for you to swallow, mention that to your doctor. We are always happy to see patients. We do have to have a physician's referral in order to see a patient for a swallow evaluation, but we welcome patients.
My thanks today to Dr. Deborah Suter, Associate Professor and Director of the UK Voice and Swallow Clinic, for talking with me about the Dysphagia Clinic here at UK Healthcare. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org, and for information on becoming an underwriter, contact Gail Bennett at 257-7049.